Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Normally joined at this time by Charles Robinson. Robinson is, I don't know why I just referred to him as Robinson, as if he's some player. He is flying to Kansas City, though, taking in the game tonight between Baltimore and the Chiefs. And then taking in the Browns-Cowboys game this weekend with Brady on the call. Busy weekend coming up for Charles. We are efforting to get him on the program tomorrow. We got a busy day on the program tomorrow, but we are making our best effort to get Charles on tomorrow. So looking forward, hopefully, to that. In the meantime, taking your thoughts on the Titans and the Bears, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, we brought up the article in The Athletic earlier. Five executives ranking the AFC teams. Titans coming in at 14th on that list. So, obviously, that's not very good. Only the Raiders and the Patriots below the Titans in that ranking. And a quote from that article highlighting basically that the executive likes a lot of other parts of the Titans team, but just doesn't think the quarterback is very good. And that's pretty consistent with a lot of the noise. Kind of to sum up this offseason, because we've had a look, a lot of people have called in, a lot of people on our text line have asked, like, what are people missing? Because it's been a very busy offseason for the Titans. They spent a ton of money. They have upgraded several positions just in terms of pure talent on paper. Like, I like the makeup of their wide receiver core. That was not the case a year ago. I like their corner room if they can stay healthy. That was not the case a year ago. Like, on paper, this should be a better football team than we saw a year ago based on the moves that they've made. And yet, you see a whole lot of 5-12, 6-11, and heck, I picked them to go 7-10. You see a lot of that around the league too. So there's clearly some level of disconnect there, and I have to think a lot of it goes back to Levis. And I'll be honest with you, like, I'm still not completely sold on Will Levis. There were some encouraging moments that we saw last year, but for me, the jury very much is still out, and there are still some things that he's got to demonstrate that he can do on a consistent basis before I'm a believer in Will Levis.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of certainly there are similarities, but it's just an interesting dynamic of local versus national. I mean, there's not a ton of information, but there was some good information. There was even good information in a national, well, I guess it was a national broadcast, but it was one of those double Monday night, which is what the Titans have this year too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Titans can't get their own Monday night spot. But
we will not put the Titans and Dolphins on their own standalone Miami or Monday night football game. We cannot do it.
Yeah, they must share the stage. Remind me, was that like Giants Packers?
That's exactly who it was.
Last year,
Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, my goodness. But, like, that was pretty impressive, you know? I mean, I understand if you want to go back and go through the numbers and the EPA wasn't great and all this stuff, and that's fine. He wasn't great. But, man, I thought he was pretty good, and I thought it was encouraging. And, of course, he had those 2 days that were especially good, and he played for a very bad team. So, if you like all those other things and you paid attention, like the guy who the one of these five – execs who goes through all the things he likes almost has the Titans in the playoffs, but it's Levis is the reason why. Like, the first thing he starts out with is that the quarterback's not good. So this guy actually thinks quite a bit, has paid attention to the Titans, has paid attention to their acquisitions and things like that. And I know that's easier to do than actually watching a team play,
right?
But Levis is his reason, and he is the most optimistic exec of these ones polled about the Titans. So it's just, and that is, I think that's the prevailing. Now, again, some of these others just don't think they're good. So it's probably not just Levis, but the first thing that people start with on why they don't think the Titans will be good, I saw Nick Wright the other day, on Fox saying, you know, I want to say he picked the Titans to be the worst team in the AFC. I think that's right. He said the clear last place team in the AFC South is the Titans. I don't believe in the quarterback. Again, that's the theme. People think he's bad. And I'm just trying to think of a – well, here's a question for you. Is there an example that comes to mind of a quarterback where everyone thought – and there was a limited sample size, but everyone thought the quarterback was bad, and then the quarterback proved everybody wrong?
Well, Jordan Love.
That's a good point. Now, the difference is Jordan Love, as you know way better than I do, but the reports out of practice were like, ooh, it looks rough. Remember that game where he played against Kansas City a couple years ago? It was like, oh, God, this guy can't play at all, right?
Yeah.
So, like, there was nothing good to go on with Jordan Love other than his draft profile and like, his college play, right? I mean, that's – like all the indications were, that's not the same as Levis. There's actually good stuff right now that you could find on Will Levis playing in the NFL where you're like, oh, okay, that looks pretty good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely a good example of someone who has completely flipped things so dramatically that in a little more than a half a season of just great play, he went from, I don't know if this guy's going to make it, to, oh, here's a massive contract for you.
Well, to a lesser extent, because it's a different situation. And, you know, this guy's certainly not an elite quarterback. But like Geno Smith, there was a time where you wondered if he could even be a backup in the league. And then he put together two decent years with Seattle. So, you know, I think you could throw him into the list as well.
That's a good one. Like someone who definitely rebounded. I'm trying to think of like recent rookies, because the thing is, they just get discarded.
Yeah,
they get discarded, and then you're like, oh wait, where's Mac Jones? Oh yeah, he's in Jacksonville. Okay, Kenny Pickett. He's in Philly.
Well,
okay.
And that's why I think, you know, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're pretty convinced that unless it is a total disaster, that Levis is getting the third year, and I don't know that I'm there. Like if I'm not saying that he's got to be great, but like if the Titans do end up going 6-11, 5-12, and they're in a position in the draft where they could get another quarterback, I think they'll consider it at that point. Like I'm not convinced that it has to be just completely terrible for them to not bring him back next year.
Yeah. I think if he's – well, the thing is, I think he's going to be pretty good, you know. So – whatever, however you define that, and I can't give you my exact objective metrics on pretty good, but I don't think he'll be a disaster. Sure, if he's a disaster, then it's easy, right? And that is how it goes in this league. And in particular, when you're not a first round pick, I mean, that also makes it even easier than if you were.
But I mean, there are some things the executive said that I agree with. Like, I do like a lot of the pieces around Levis, and I do like what they've done in the secondary. And maybe he's not – I think he's going to have games this year where he plays really well. I mean, we saw that a year ago. He had some games where he played really well. He'll have those this year. But what if you get to the end of the season and there are glimpses where it looks really, really good, but too often he's just missing a throw here or there in a clutch situation, and it's not just all bad all the time, but you end up 5-12 at the end of the year. Like, what do you do at that point if you're Rand Carthon?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, and that's where we just have to see it all together, because Dennis makes a good point. Josh Allen is the best example, the most dramatic example I've ever heard of a guy who looked terrible and then got great, you know. Yeah. But again, like Levis to me has not looked terrible. I think Josh Allen did early. If he gets that protection, especially the protection, because, you know, we know the receivers are good. Like, I know Hopkins is good. I know Boyd's good. And Ridley is good, if not great. They've paid him to be inching toward great, right?
Yeah.
But, like, we know those guys can play. So, if he gets protection and then it's not working, then that has to be on him. I mean, you could blame Callahan or whatever, too, and, you know, the QB coach and the play call. But when it comes down to it, if Will Levis, and this is what he didn't have last year, what Titans quarterbacks have not had in 2 years, any sort of confidence. It's not just the sacks and the pressures. It's also knowing in the back of your head, as anybody playing that position for the Titans last 2 years, that you just, your clock is sped up.
Yeah.
You, how does that not affect your performance? And that's where I was impressed beyond, and that's where I think people who didn't watch him last year, they missed that, because I thought he stood in really courageously a lot last year. Sometimes he was too courageous to run the ball, but I thought he stood in, even though everybody knew how bad the protection was going to be. So yeah. Anyway, if you get that and it's not working, then I think, yeah, then I think it quickly starts going against him, and I think that's fair.
Darcy throwing out Josh Allen for your comp earlier. I mean, we did think that Josh Allen, after his first year, was kind of cheeks, and then he turned it around. I mean, we've talked about that a lot, just the transformation. That doesn't really happen very often, but that was a pretty dramatic transformation.
You're just ignoring Dennis throwing out Josh Allen? Did Dennis piss you off at the fantasy draft last night?
I didn't see Dennis's text. I'm sorry.
I just said it.
No. I mean, maybe I dismissed it.
So are you mad at me and yeah. Dennis right now?
I'm not listening to you.
You're like Keezer.
I stopped
now.
Listening to you 2 hours ago.
615-737-1025,
our phone number. I'll have a better performance next segment. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Will Levis. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Josh Allen receiving some slander on our text line right now. Weston Clarksville says, he hadn't proven anything. He's going to look real bad this year without Diggs, to which my response was, hasn't proven anything. I think that's a little bit of a stretch, just slightly, even though I am down on Buffalo this year.
Yeah, like, I really, man... I really hate to call this out, because this texter said, always on your side, Joe, the side of logic and reason instead of subjective opinions, LOL. And I was like, appreciate you. And then texted, Josh Allen is still cheeks. Josh Allen is pretty freaking good, man. I don't know if I'd buy like Josh Allen, number two quarterback in the NFL, which some people do believe. But, man, he's pretty good, right? What am I missing here?
He's pretty good. I mean, I understand that he has not beaten Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs yet. Again, get in line. There's a lot of people that haven't done that. Burrow has. And Brady.
That's right. That's right. Indy Ben has chimed in. I always love to read Indy Ben. This is okay. So here's some analysis from Indy Ben. He says, Levis is similar to Wentz. Carson Wentz has all the tools and the physique, but lacks good pocket awareness and has questionable decision making. I will say, to his credit, he does seem to be more of a leader. Yeah, he's a good leader. And actually, physically, you know what? In terms of physical tools and stuff, I don't hate that comparison. I think there is something to that comparison. The funny thing is, I know it was a long time ago now. But like, I think back to like when the Titans beat the Eagles in Nissan, when Corey Davis had the TD, and in that range, I mean, Wentz was freaking good.
Well, Wentz was on his way to winning the MVP before he got hurt.
Yes. So, I mean, that's one thing that's interesting about it.
That was a Super Bowl year, but still.
Right, but the pocket awareness and decision-making. I don't know about the lacks good pocket awareness. I don't know that I agree with that. It's just hard. Again, that's one of those things that's hard to – I mean, again, you can find stats on things like this, but show me the football. Show me the protection and think about what it does. Human beings, if they know they're about to get hit way faster than they should be hit over and over again in a situation, like there's going to be some effect on them. I don't agree on pocket awareness. Decision making, that's a big thing this year, right? I mean, obviously he has to. And Callahan talked about that a lot yesterday, the kind of how he's learned to basically take the singles and be selective in trying to hit the home run. So we'll see, you know, we'll see. Does he make too many risky throws and throw too many picks this year? I don't know. Maybe you disagree, Robbie. I didn't come away from last year saying, man, that guy is just a rogue QB out there making wild decisions.
Well, I don't know that how many times was he given enough time to make wild decisions last year. It wasn't very many.
Well,
yeah,
sure. That's the problem with evaluating last year.
Right. It's just really hard to do. I do love Weston Clarksville, but I do have to read this. He says, called shot, Buffalo will be in the hunt for a new quarterback after this season because they're not making the playoffs. Well, if that's the case, Titans should scrap their QB plan right now. Just wait for Josh Allen to become available and just go get him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, and that guy, by the way, there's a great Jordan Rodrigue, friend of the show. Did you see the story she did about accuracy? And the science behind it. And I mean, like finally, I've always wondered, like, that dude could not hit the broadside of a barn in college. His first year at Buffalo, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And now all of a sudden he can. And it's a great story. It probably doesn't work for everybody, but like some of the biometrics involved in accuracy. Again, this is why when we compare like eras of sports, like imagine like Bart Starr having that benefit, you know?
Imagine how much better
with your beloved Packers
Dan Fouts would have been had he been given that opportunity.
Well, I think they probably modeled their system off how he threw the football.
They probably did.
You know.
They probably did. Now, I mean, look, Levis, I mean, in all seriousness, you know, people keep bringing up Josh Allen. You know, we made the Josh Allen comp a lot when he came out of college, just in terms of there were some accuracy concerns with him. That look, I still have those. We'll see how it plays out this year. He is, you know, Levis physically is really physically gifted. Now, he's not Josh Allen. Like, Allen is an absolute tank, which is why, you know, he continues to run the ball and lower his shoulder. And every time he gets hit, I'm like, geez, is he getting up from that one? And he always does. Like, he's just kind of built uniquely that way. So Levis is not that, but there are some comparisons between the two that I think are interesting. You know, they both have huge arms. Like, there's not a throw in the NFL that physically Will Levis can't make. Like, I mean, we've seen that. I think we've seen enough of his arm to know he's got a cannon of an arm. He can throw it sideline to sideline. He can make all the throws that you want him to make. Like, skill set wise, there's plenty to work with there, which is why I think if you're a Titans fan, you got hope heading into the year that he's your guy moving forward. But as we know, it's about more than just the skill set. And, you know, the accuracy is a big part of it. Like, can you should have a good enough receiving core this year. And that's probably the under-discussed part of last year. Not only was the offensive line bad, but outside of Hopkins, nobody could get open. Like, go look at the numbers. They could not get open. That should be better this year. So you should be more equipped, if you're Will Levis, to really get a better gauge on just how accurate he is this year.
Yeah, without question. Again, yes, the receiver's better, and we've talked so much about the Ridley and trying to get on the same page, and obviously that'll be a big focal point of this game. Do they hook up on some shots? Do they take some shots? Do they hit them? I just think that, you know, the Titans have done – because, look, from the Titans' perspective, that, you know, they've obviously tried to put together a team to win this year, but – also, like, they need every bit of information they can. They need as clean an evaluation of him as they can this year. That is still, like, the direction of the franchise underlying theme of the whole thing. Because, like you said, if they have a bad record, then, I mean, next year you got Carson Beck, you got Shedeur Sanders. I've seen some mock drafts with the Titans taking Shedeur Sanders. You've got, you know, whoever else may be in that first round. And it could get to that, you know, but if it's not, then and you're winning a decent amount, because some of this is also like there's going to be at least a handful of games this year where I bet you anything where Levis has the game in his hands.
Yes.
In a 2-minute drill. And so those moments, does he make the plays? Does he make the reads, the throws? Those still, you know, those moments count more. And that's, again, when I look back to last year, man, I feel like I never hear anybody outside of Nashville talking about the Miami game, but that was big time. I mean, that was big, you know, rolling and, like, finding Hopkins kind of across his body and some of the throws he made all over the field, different types of throws of different people. Like, that's what you're looking for. So when he gets those handful or so and maybe more of opportunities this year, what's he do with those? Well, that's going to be a big part of the story.
It's a big part of the story. Those things really matter. Like, you want the complete picture of the guy who is dominant throughout the game, like a Mahomes or a Rodgers. Of course you want that. But part of that, like a lot of these games in the NFL, I mean, almost regardless of who your quarterback is, are one-score games, right? Like there's one-score games all over the place in the NFL. And sometimes the plays that your quarterback makes in those clutch moments are the difference between winning and losing. And if he is better than not in those positions, like to me that means something. Yeah, that's and maybe look, you can give credit to, you know, to Callahan. It all has to work in concert or collaborate, as they would say.
Mm.
But like that to me is where you learn a lot about your quarterback too, is like when you absolutely have to have a third and six, can he come up with the throw to do it? Not just a play call, like all that's got to be good, but can he come up with the big time throw, staring down the barrel of pressure and delivering those moments on a consistent basis? Nobody's going to be perfect. You know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't come through every single time, even though it seems like he does in those situations. But can you be enough of a clutch performer there to where you feel good about your quarterback in those situations? Like, to me, if you feel good about your QB in situations like that, that goes a long way to answering whether or not they can be the guy for you moving forward.
Right, because this team, and I'm confident that they've improved this team. Well, they had a bad roster last year, and they were in how many close games? Like we all agree the roster had gotten to a pretty bad point last year. You can blame Vrabel for everything if you want, but let's be real. They had a lot of deficiencies on the roster, and they still were in. How many games did they lose that were one possession games? I don't have it in front of me. You can quickly look that up, but quite a few, right? So if Levis is good in those situations, I'm confident this team has improved to the point where they're going to be competitive most weeks. They're going to be in close games, what this league is. So that could be the difference between 5-6 wins and 9-10 wins, right? So it all kind of goes together. If he's good in those situations, your bottom line improves. And then, I mean, the answer at that point kind of gets pretty clear for you.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans and Will Levis coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer here with you on this Thursday morning. We are taking your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. Week 1. Coming up against Chicago on Sunday, 615-737-1025 is our phone number to get in touch with us on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Make sure you check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's from River Queen Voyages. River Queen Voyages, the most fun and unique way to see the downtown skyline from the water. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to River Queen Voyages while supplies last. Ethan from Lawrenceburg on the text line saying, if Levis sucks, the only right thing for the Titans to do is to draft James Pierce in 25 and Nico in 26. They must make up for this Tennessee fan disrespect at some point and draft those two guys.
That's a great point. There's no better way to unslap, to remove the slap from the faces. You know, it's like going back in time, like, and you take the hand away from the Vols' Twitter face by drafting all Vols from here. I mean, what about Dylan Sampson? Someone in the text line earlier said he's Alvin Kamara. Well, there's other VFLs that
I'm not convinced he's that.
Get into.
But if he's that, then yeah, you might want to consider drafting him too.
I'm not convinced he's that either. He's good. I don't know if this isn't a hot take. I think Jalen Wright. We had someone drafting the fantasy draft last night.
That's me, boss.
That was you.
Yep.
And someone who gave you crap for it.
The entire right side of the table.
Yeah, who led by Kaharski.
Yes. Oh, make fun of them, guys. Look at this laminated manual. I'm taking it home. I'm stealing it.
Yeah. No, I like it, man. I understand that like their depth chart is not ideal for him. He is gonna be an explosive running back in the NFL.
I think I took him like the 13th round, by the way. Like it wasn't like I just it's like, oh yeah, Jalen Wright in the 6th round. Let's go get him.
No.
Just saying.
I approve your pick.
Tyler on the text line says, what would you guys put the over-under at for Will Levis's touchdowns and yards this season? I'm seeing 3,300 yards and 18 touchdowns, and I feel like 18 touchdowns is really low, but am I crazy?
I mean, I don't think you're crazy.
I think
18
touchdowns
low.
Is low. We talked about this the other day. Like, there is, you know, I threw the question out there. 38-19 was the highest yardage total that Tannehill had. And that was in 2020. And they get 33 touchdowns that year, too. So can Levis in this offense throw for more than 38-19? Like, does he approach 4,000 yards? I don't think he's getting 33 touchdowns, but could you get 25? Could you throw for 25 touchdowns this year if you're Will Levis? Is that crazy to ask for in this offense?
Yeah, like that's where I'd set the over-under like around there, 23.5, 24.5. Yeah. Yes, absolutely you can. And 30, and you can certainly, we went through the, yeah. What was your thing, 38-19?
38-19.
Yeah, and that's, so, no, I think those are, those might be juicy possibilities. You gotta count on him being healthy, right?
Yes.
If you're going to hit the overs on those, and there is some question of him, like, wanting to seek out defenders, and you know, that's the thing. Like, Josh, are you talking about Josh Allen? I mean, with Lamar Jackson has kind of changed. Josh Allen's got to change soon, doesn't he? I feel like he hasn't changed enough. Lamar Jackson has gotten smart, and, like, you just can't do it. I still feel like Josh Allen thinks he's a fullback sometimes.
Do we have any idea, like, if Josh Allen catch up with him, actually knows how to slide? I don't know. Is there video evidence of him ever doing it? I don't know if I've ever seen him slide.
That's a good question. I don't know. Not much. I do know that he made one good play.
Jalen Hurts doesn't really do it either.
Yeah. When the Titans went to Buffalo, Josh Allen's rookie year, he made one good play in the game, which was starting to run out of bounds and then holding up so that he drew a 15-yard penalty. That was like their best offensive play of the day.
Yeah.
And yeah, they won, by the way.
They did. I remember that game. They did.
What a
win.
Day that was.
Yes, a great day in Titans history. I mean, look, Levis, one thing, too, that's going to be interesting to see, there was clearly a ton of chemistry built up last year between he and Hopkins. Now, some of that, I think, was by default because there's really no one else to throw the ball to. There is other people to throw the ball to this year, but Hopkins has missed some time in camp here. So, like, do they pick that back up instantly? Or is, you know, is Hopkins going to go out there on Sunday, number one, be healthy and available, and number two, is he going to catch 7 passes? Is he going to get 10 targets on Sunday? Like, is, while he's still trying to build chemistry with Ridley and Boyd in a game setting, is Hopkins still his security blanket, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, and I still, you know, I know Hopkins' limit. I mean, it all looks good for him, but today's still kind of an interesting one, too. Does he have a full day of practice today? You know, I mean, that's like, I'm still wondering about the, like, the fully available thing with him. That would be, it's a big deal for the Titans. I mean, the signs are positive, but no, it's a good question. I mean, I feel like they banked the reps, as people like to say. So you would think that it would be kind of a snap your fingers thing, but you never know. I mean, Levis has been working so much on timing up with Ridley. Does that mess you up with a different receiver? I mean, Hopkins is the guy who, you know, doesn't blow anybody away with, like, his speed, but is always open because of how he plays.
Yeah, like, I mean, you could feel really good about throwing him the ball and having trust that he's going to come down with it, even if the window is tight. I mean, that's what, to me, separates Hopkins from a lot of other guys. Is you have that confidence that he can either make the combat catch, go up, box somebody out. Like, he's done that his entire career. I just wonder, is that an instant weapon for them Sunday where they can kind of pick back up? Because, look, they have banked reps. Now, I do think we've made probably a little bit too much of that. Like, Levis wasn't the starting quarterback until halfway through last year. So they got half a season's worth of reps and then the offseason. So, they have reps together. They don't have that many reps together. Like, they're, you know, it's enough where you feel comfortable with it, but it's not like they've been playing together for 5 years.
Right, right. No, for sure. And I think it's just like that first game, right? Wow, these guys are like, they've been playing together for 10 years.
Right.
But, no, I mean, it hasn't been a ton of time, and camp would have been a lot better for the Titans for all three of those guys to be out there during camp than otherwise. I mean, I know Treylon Burks got more reps as a result, but is that going to pay off for the Titans? You know, I have no idea.
You throwing at Kevin Byard all day on Sunday if you're Levis? They're going to try to expose Byard?
What is Byard? Is Byard okay, by the way? He was banged up.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I saw an injury report. I didn't think I saw him on it. So, you know, Byard
is missing that game.
He's going, no. He's crafty. And you got to watch the guy, you know, for sure. And Bears have that pass rush. So, Byard is, that'd be something. Titans fans have to watch Derrick Henry run for 150 and 2 touches tonight, and then Kevin Byard have a couple picks on their QB Sunday.
I mean, he's already said he's going to be looking for it. He's going to be looking for the pick.
Absolutely. Just real quick to go back, because Dennis, I like this for Dennis. We've been talking about that whole thing with, you know, like Levis and comparisons or whatever. You brought up Geno Smith. Is there anybody else like Jim Plunkett? He was, for people who don't know, he was like, I think he was the number one pick out of Stanford. Didn't work out at all at New England. Late in his career, wins a Super Bowl with the Raiders and has a really great stretch. Actually, was he the Super Bowl? Was he two Super Bowls? Possibly, but great run. Is there anybody else who's done that? Not that this really applies to Levis, but I just thought it was a good point.
Nobody that's immediately come to mind. I have to think about that one for a minute.
Like Geno is a good example of a guy who was kind of tossed aside, and he's actually, he's a good player.
Right.
I guess Jared Goff was briefly like, oh, good luck in Detroit,
yeah,
and we'll never hear from you again, but it's not the same thing.
No. By the way, speaking of the injury report, Jamal Adams did not participate. Apparently he's close with a hip injury. We'll see what happens on that front, but
I mean,
not good.
He was on the field for like 2 days, and then he's been hurt since.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even factor him in. And I'll tell you what, this is where, like, to me, that role potentially would have been filled pretty well by Elijah Molden.
Yep.
And obviously he's not there anymore. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with some of these different packages. This whole idea of like all these multi-safety looks, you're throwing out somebody who's either down the depth chart or new to the scene. So that's going to be really interesting. But I mean, at this point, like Jamal Adams, it's tough for him. You feel bad for him, but like, how could you have any optimism that he's going to make a difference for this team this year?
By the way, Keenan Allen for the Bears limited with a heel. Montez Sweat limited with a toe. I mean, I do not anticipate that those being huge problems on Sunday when game time rolls around. It's a limited designation on a Wednesday, but something to keep an eye on, I guess, there.
Yeah, and it could be these guys are really good veterans, so let's just have a light day and you'll be limited.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens, too.
Sometimes that does happen. 615-737-1025, our phone number. One more segment coming up for us today, the Titans and the Bears coming up in Week 1. Your biggest question on the Titans heading into Week 1. What are you most curious to learn about Brian Callahan and company when they kick things off on Sunday? We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Week 1 coming up on Sunday. Your biggest question for the Titans heading into Week 1 against Chicago. Kyle in Shelbyville, member of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League, says, my biggest question is how Callahan uses the screen game to help out our offensive line against the Bears' pass rush. Could be an underrated kind of focus of this game heading into it. I wonder, like, can they hit throughout the course of four quarters a couple of big-time screen plays, be that to Pollard, be that to Spears, to get maybe the pass rush of Sweat and that group up front used against them? And, like, do you get to the point in the game where you feel like the screen really has to be a big weapon for you, or does your offensive line hold up well enough where you don't have to call too many screens?
No, I love the screen game. I actually really like some of the plays I saw in the Saints game. I'm like, man, don't show that stuff. That's some good stuff. That little tight end screen they had was nice.
Anytime you get the ball to Nick Vinette, you do it.
That's right. We're trying to get rid of you, Nick. Here, let's give you some plays. But DMR, next star, which Dennis asked about. I'm excited to see if DMR, how much he plays, and if he has some kind of a role. But obviously the screen game is different, right, with these backs than with Derrick Henry. There were limitations with him. The Titans did have a pretty good screen game. That throwback screen to Derrick Henry, and Arthur Smith had some other stuff too, not too long ago here. But this is definitely different with those two backs. And I think that's a key thing. It's just, yeah, like you – if you have to, if it's like pressure, if you have to use it, then it loses its effectiveness. But if you mix it in perfectly, especially just against the right call at the right time, it can be a great weapon.
A texter asking, do we think Sunday will be a showcase of young players to be excited about, or will it be veterans that will have the spotlight? I mean, there's not a ton of young players to choose from. Now, you do have Latham, you have Sweat, and you have Levis. Like, Levis is still a young player, but in terms of like your starters, Hopkins, Ridley, Boyd certainly aren't young. On the defensive side, L'Jarius Sneed, I mean, he's not an old man, but he's played a lot of football. Owusu's played a lot of football. Diggs. I mean, there's a lot of veterans that this team went out and acquired over the summer. So I think there's a nice mixture of both. And it would be really nice if one of the takeaways on Sunday, win or lose, was Levis looked pretty good, Latham looked pretty good, Sweat looked pretty good. I think you'd feel pretty good about the foundation of where you're going if that's the case.
Yeah, you do have – I mean, you have young guys. I mean, Skoronski is a – yep. it's a big week for him.
That's a good one.
Look, I still consider Raidens and Petit Frere young guys, you know. So it's like, I mean, that offensive line on paper, it's a young offensive line of a veteran center. He's not old either. He's not ancient, but a bunch of either first, second, or third round picks who are young guys, you know, like that should be good, you know, on paper. That's like, okay, that's the type of thing you want. So, and that is still the whole thing to me, not the whole thing, but like that's that first full game of that offensive line, a very good test on the road, very good team. You know, how that group plays together, I think, one, you know, that dictates how much of a chance Will Levis has, but also I think that'll tell us a lot about what this season could be.
Wes in Clarksville, now that he's not cutting Josh Allen from the Bills, throwing this question out there. Why is everyone wanted to get rid of Derrick Henry because he was old and can't run, but now the Ravens pick him up? Henry's the one that's going to take him to the promised land. What do you think of that, Joe? Is Derrick Henry getting too much love on the Ravens, based on where he's at this point in his career on the other side of 30?
Well, look, I don't know about everyone, Wes. I've never thought that Derrick Henry was too old or couldn't run. I mean, he certainly lost a step after the injury in 21. But he, in the last 2 years, was slammed into a brick wall behind a bad offensive line in a predictable offense and had very little chance. When you don't have a passing game, you don't have pass protection, which means you don't have a passing game. Like, what does that do to a running back? You have to have both sides complement each other. So my answer is I have never moved off the belief that he's still really good. I mean, I still think he's a great player until I see otherwise. And so watching him in a scheme like this with a quarterback that already puts defenders in such consistent conflict like Lamar Jackson does with that scheme. And I know they changed it last year and really the passing aspect of it picked up last year. When it comes down to it, you stretch defense so thin already with Lamar Jackson, and now you let Derrick Henry operate in that offense. Look, I'm bullish on it. And if we come back tomorrow morning and Henry just had 8 carries for 22 yards, then I will raise my hand and say, ooh, that I did not expect that. I'm not saying I expect him to go nuts tonight, but I think he's going to have a 1,000-yard season and that they are going to really like picking him up and replacing Gus Edwards, who looked better than he actually is because he played in that offense.
I still am really interested to see how much they're actually going to use him, just in terms of the touches he gets per game. Because
yeah, me too.
Like, you know, I remember, you know, going through some props for some Titans games on FanDuel before, and the over/under in rushing total, just in terms of carries for Derrick Henry, would be like 24.5 or 26.5. I'm looking tonight, 15.5. That's the over/under for Derrick Henry. Now, yeah. Some of that may also have to do with opponent because, you know, Kansas City is prolific, and if you get down, you're going to have to throw the ball. So there is some of that too. But like, how many games is Derrick Henry going to have this year where he has 20 or more carries? I don't know.
No, it's a great question. I mean, look, he certainly is not the focal point of an offense. He has been the focal point of an offense since the last month of 2018 season until the end of last year, right? And he's not anymore. But what does that mean? And can he perform with the more sporadic work? I think he'll enjoy not having an entire defense ganged up on him like he has been. But also, it is the rhythm, the running back rhythm that they all talk about, which I think is real, that is going to be harder for him. So I'm interested in that too. I feel like some games he is going to be over 20 because it's working and they have a lead. I think they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to be ahead in the fourth quarter, and that's when you give them the ball, right?
Yeah.
But I do think you're right. Like, some games they'll have, like, 12 touches.
Andrew says, Kenneth Murray blitzing is going to get home against the Bears' weak interior offensive line this week, I believe. Interested to see how that goes. Also, how much is Ernest Jones going to play this week? Like, is he going to start? Is he not going to start? If he doesn't start, how much is he going to play? Like that combination of Ernest Jones and Kenneth Murray together, what does that look like week one against this group in Chicago?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting. And, you know, on your point there, Andrew, well, if the Bears' interior offensive line is as weak as you think, maybe you don't need to blitz.
Yeah.
You got 93 and 98 in there, you know. I mean, how much problems, how much of a problem are they going to create for Caleb Williams on a consistent basis on Sunday? It's first look at them together, first look at Snead and Awuzie together, first look at a lot of things.
So who you got winning tonight, Baltimore or Kansas City? Are you afraid to make a prediction? Are you afraid to make a pick?
Yeah. I think Derek Henry might tweet at me if I pick against him.
My Kaharski's not been very good this week. I apologize.
It's all right.
You got a little more New York in it. New York.
Now we're back.
That feels better.
All right. In there.
Yeah, what a yellow belly chicken. Kaharski won't pick a freaking game. But it's sports. Pick a game. No, I like the Ravens, man. I like the Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to go in there and get a little, you know, it's September, but it's the season opener. Everybody's watching. This is a big deal for them to atone for the way they screwed it up, frankly, in the AFC title game. All props to the Chiefs, man. The Chiefs went out and won it last year, but the Ravens did not have their best in that game.
Kansas City wins.
They could not run the football. Tonight, they will run the football.
Okay. Kansas City wins 24-17. That is my official prediction. 24-17 for the Chiefs tonight. And I'll tell you how they win. Fourth quarter, tie game. Xavier Worthy gets loose. Deep shot down the field to Worthy. Because that's what Mahomes in this offense needs, is a nice deep play threat.
Guaranteed. Yeah, that's fair. Did you draft him too?
No.
Who drafted him?
I can't remember, but somebody took him like three picks before I was going to take it.
Do we have our fantasy teams graded yet?
I have not seen that, and beginning to wonder if it's going to happen.
Okay, because I really want to see a Garcia get a D- for his drafting and talk trash to him.
See, I actually feel better, whether it's ESPN or Yahoo or whoever. I feel better when my grade's lower. Yeah. I typically have better results.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get motivated, man.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the one-arm push-ups start, you know. That it works, man. Psychology matters in football.
We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Enjoy the football tonight. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.